Hello. I just have a couple things I want to say quick for this segment to kick off a new episode. So I just had this idea when I woke up today. I woke up at like 10 in the morning and just had this idea, like, boom, instantly in my head of that I should start a new podcast where I choose something unusual each week and do it for 7 days and then put out a podcast about it. And it doesn't have to be, I talk about it more in the podcast. It'll be out in a bit, in a week and a half, I guess, once I have a first episode ready. But, you know, the standard thing is like extroverted stuff, Morgan Spurlock type stuff. And this doesn't necessarily need to be that. Maybe I'll work into that, work up to that. But it can be introverted stuff that is not hard to do, just fine with me. And so I had the idea, I started doing it today. It's like, let's just get going. So this week's thing is to listen to a new album each day, where I can only listen to that one album for each day and then talk about it and whatever. So along with that, I emailed Ian, because Ian had excellent taste in music, so I emailed Ian and was like, hey man, would you recommend an album to me for this experiment? So I don't know, we'll see. So see if I have the right email address. We'll see if she actually answers. I don't really talk to her that much. But that was her on my mind. And of course, even though it's been 2 months, you know, I'm still having my thoughts drift toward this girl that broke up with me, because I'm sorry, it still is just happening. I don't know. I'll get better sometime. But maybe it's having these girls on my mind where I took a little nap at like 5 o'clock. I just woke up, it's like 7:30, and I had this dream that was like, what a ridiculously responsible dream of it was about Erica, the girl I dated in Vancouver, and in the dream she was in Toronto and we were hanging out talking, and she points out the window and there's an airport out there. And it's like that airport in Toronto, Billy Bishop, that's on the island right in the middle of town. And she says, hey, look at that plane taking off. That's it. That's the last person I know in Toronto leaving. Oh, dry mouth. I hate dry mouth. So I was talking to her a little bit about, wow, you didn't keep in touch too well with people from Toronto, eh? And I'm saying, like, that kind of happened to me in Vancouver. I don't know that many people there anymore. And I remember in the dream, I kind of had my arm around her hip at one point a little, but the main thought that went through my head, I'm, like, looking at her, and I'm thinking to myself in this dream, like, you've got to be okay with the fact that you and her are not dating anymore, that she's going to date other people, and you can still just hang out and be friends and be thankful that she's here and be happy that she's around. And don't get jealous and don't get weird. And then I woke up. I was like, man, talk about responsible dreams. Like, I will be mature and I will not make things awkward and weird and ruin everything. It's gonna be cool. My dreams mandate it. I don't know, it's weird. It's like the opposite of what you expect a dream to be. Like, you expect it to be a big time fantasy. And I guess it still was, you know? It's still like the fantasy of like, oh, this person that I really miss is around. And I guess the fantasy that I'm not going to make it weird, maybe that's the fantasy, that I could do such a thing. But I feel like that's a good sign, right? Like, if that's just what my brain is concocting when I am basically, you know, only on the verge of consciousness, I'm still technically asleep. And that's still what I want, that's still what generates from my head. Like, that's a good sign, right? Yeah, I feel like a lot of stuff is going better in my brain. Like, I was talking about my weird history with porn a little bit. And then I did the XO about feminism, where I talk about it a lot more. So that's been almost 2 weeks now, and yeah, it's like not even a struggle. Like, when I'm kind of sifting through my porn, I'm like, oh, this is not cool. I don't even have any twinge of like, yeah, I want to keep that, or oh, I should really hold on to that, or oh man, look at that exploitative porn, that's so like appealing and dirty or whatever. I just don't. I'm just like, no, I don't. I don't want that. Like, I want to feel good about myself. I want to feel like I'm watching porn that is like, or looking at pictures that are cool, or at least represent and symbolize what's supposed to be cool, like just two people having fun, having sex, and that's it, just fun, cool, good times. I don't know, it's nice. It's like nice that I'm finding this so easy. It's not some big battle. So anyway, that's my scattered update that I just woke up with. So I'm gonna play this song that I've been fucking obsessed with for a couple of days. It's the band Death From Above 1979 that only has like two albums, one in like 2004 and one in 2014. They put out two albums every 10 years and they're both awesome. So this song is called Cheap Talk and it's fucking wicked. I was just recording a little bit for my new podcast, the 7 Days Podcast, and I wanted to record a little more while I walk home because it's fucking cold and my fingers are cold. It'll take my mind off it if I talk. Basically, I just want to reaffirm what I've already said 6,000 times in these recent ham radios, but I have to keep reminding myself. I think this, I'm going to like reframe it a little, give myself a new way to think about it. Is I took a little nap and I woke up, like I said, and I worked on some stuff and I been eating all healthy, fucking vegetables and stuff. I ate a bunch of those. I even got some mason jars because I've just been drinking out of water bottles. And I don't know if I just don't like the idea of drinking out of plastic, especially reusing it over and over. still drinking tap water, but I figure how bad could tap water be in fucking Canada? It's probably fine. But I got some mason jars so I can just like store water in the fridge in some glass. Water in glass seems nice. Seems like purer or whatever. But yeah, I was just kind of hanging around the apartment and just kind of by myself and blah, blah, blah. Kind of cold out, just kind of lonely, And yeah, I was just feeling kind of like, just like, draggy. Feeling kind of down. But I hadn't done any fucking exercise today. I went for a little walk, did some minor stretching, because my neck is kind of messed up on one side, and I think it's because I have a dropped shoulder. Like, one of my shoulders is very noticeably lower than the other, and apparently that happens a lot, just because you use one arm more than the other, so your muscles grow much more on that side. And I looked back at an old ID photo from 10 years ago, and the same thing, like, I've just always had this dropped shoulder. But I found a series of stretches and stuff that are supposed to be corrective that should help bring both shoulders into balance eventually. But I didn't do anything severe or at all, really. And I think that's what I got to tell myself is like, look, if you're sitting around being mopey and feeling crappy and you're just sitting there trying to think it through, like, oh, what is it about my life? And what is it about my preconceptions about the world? And what is it about my relationships with people? And maybe it's just my biology. Maybe I'm just a fucking sad sack. Maybe I've got chemical imbalances. Exercise, you fucking stupid jerk. Like, it's like not okay. I feel like there should be a better way to put that. It's not appropriate to dwell on your sad sackedness if you have done nothing to try to feel better. Like, maybe the reason I feel sad is literally because my body is sad because I haven't fucking done anything today. Like, maybe it's not about my brain. Like, it's a two-way street, you know? It's not just that my body, when it feels good and active, shores up my brain. It's got to go the other way too. If my body has just been neglected all day, then I'm gonna feel bad. It just makes sense. So today, I didn't want to do too much upper body stuff because my neck really is like still hurting quite a bit. Gotta give it a day off. So I just loaded up with, how much would that be? 15, 30, 40, 50 pounds. Jesus, that's actually quite a bit. 50 pounds of just dumbbells because I don't have any barbell type stuff. And just did squats, where it's a little weird when you're just kind of holding dumbbells. It's like four dumbbells, two in each shoulder. It's not as elegant as a barbell squat would be. But just did not even a ton, I don't know, like 15? And yeah, and it's like, there we go. There we go. Everything is so much better. So yeah, I've just got to reinforce that again, is like, don't try to fight your head with your head. Maybe it's not even your head that's necessarily the problem right now. Exercise, you fuck. Exercise. You have to. There is no option. You have to. Oh. Fuck, it's cold, man. My fingers are so cold. Snowed a little today and the snow didn't stick to the ground, but as soon as it snows again, boy, oh, that shit is fucking staying for sure. God damn it, I don't know what song to play. I'm trying to think of something, that's why I'm rambling. So, whatever, I'm gonna play a song now. I'll fucking figure out something when I get home. Boom, ba 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 boom. Ba ba boom boom, ha ba 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 ba, ha ba ba ba, ha ra ba 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 ba, ha ra ba ba, ba ra ba ba ba, ba ba ba, ha ke 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 bu, ha ri di ba ba, ha ri ba bu, hi ho ho, ha ha ha, hi hi ho. See, because that's the difference, man, with exercising and not exercising, or being active or not active. Is like, say I'm listening to a super cool song and I'm just like, yeah, cool, dancing around to a super cool song. And it's easy, it's just easy. You're making stupid noises with your mouth. It's like you don't even think about it because your brain's not worried. brain's not all concerned and fretting about everything. It's just fine. But in a pre-exercise mindset, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to make stupid noises with my mouth. I'm not going to feel the rhythm, man. I'm not going to dance around to songs. I'm not going to do shit. Blah. I don't know. I can kind of see, I guess, like when I joked a few episodes back about like maybe this is my chronicle of a manic episode or something. And then that commenter said like I was having a psychotic break, which I feel is far too strong. Come on, calm down. I think it really is just that it's this. Exercising maybe doesn't work like this for everyone, but I feel like it does. Like we're all human beings. We're all biological systems. Like it just makes this big of a difference. Man, I just like can't get over it. Of just like how many years. Okay, well, there's something else I'll talk about. So the girl Shannon who did a lot of the early EXO episode art. The whole site is kind of designed around her stuff. So she's become a certified trainer and is super fit. Like, man, she looks good. It's just like, bam. It's super impressive. And we were talking on Facebook and she said that, like, people, because she used to actually be, like, kind of fat. And now she's gone to, like, super fit. And she said people have come out of the woodwork that she hasn't talked to in forever, like, since, you know, middle school or whatever they call it in the States, asking, like, for advice to get in shape. So she'll lay out like a plan and like, here's what you got to do and do some research and spend some time like setting up a program for people or whatever. And she said they just kind of feel like down and they're just like, oh, really? like I thought you were going to give me the secret. But the secret is to eat right and to be active all the time, you know, endless vigilance. And it is just like, me and her were talking a bit about how like, you gotta hit a point in your life. Like for me, it was this moving back to Toronto for a girl and like just how erratic and sort of out of control I was being, or just like aimless. Like what is happening? You know, like making very bizarre choices that can all be justified and stuff. And like, I mean, just the justification of like, you've got a crush on a girl. That's enough to justify an awful lot. But still, you know, once you peel away that layer, there's nothing else underneath that layer that really adds up. So that's what it was for me. For her, she said it was just like something switched in her brain where she's just like I've got to do this for me. It's not for anyone else. It's because I deserve to feel better because I deserve to be the awesome person that I know that I am. And you get to that point and you just don't want to resist the work so much. Or, you know, like you kind of want to do it. You want the work. So instead of seeing exercise as like, oh, it's so much work, I'd be so much happier if I just laid around and didn't do anything. You just don't feel like that. You feel the opposite. You want the difficulty. You want the struggle and you want the results. Yeah, and just like whatever it takes to get you there, man, it's worth it, you know? Whatever bad stuff or whatever tough things, it's like, yeah, okay, sure, but yeah, look at this, it's an old Swiss Army knife that someone has lost. Well, I guess it's not even really, it's like 3 sized Allen keys, 3, 4, 5 Allen keys, 2 types of screwdriver things. This is actually pretty cool, I'm keeping this, holy fuck. The bike hand. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, so it's like specifically for bike maintenance. Man, it's too bad the guy lost it, but I mean, it's just on the side of the road in the middle of the night. I don't think if he comes back, he's going to know. Like, he'll have no idea where he dropped it. Like, I would leave it if I thought there was something someone would come back for, but I think if I don't take it, it's probably just going to stay in the gutter. And this is nice. I'm going to take it. Cool. But yeah, just whatever gets that switch flipped, just be thankful for it. Be thankful you got to that point. You know, I'm going to play another Death From Above 1979 song. I'm going to play a song from their first album from 10 years ago. And I don't remember what it's called, but it goes, I'm leaving, And a sonny by his in a banny. And his vinny by invited Benny. And I my bad and man on. And I my mind out. There is but on the roof again. Hey, say, boy, hey, boy, yeah. Hey, it's the next day, and I just recorded another segment for my 7 Days podcast, which I'm really kind of excited about. I've really got a bunch of stuff lined up for it, and it's just cool, cool little thing to do. So I thought while I was out walking around in the cold again, it's a little less cold than yesterday, but still cold. But I thought I'd record another ham radio segment, and that'd probably be enough to make this an episode, just so it's not just sitting on my hard drive. I'd rather put it out. And I'm just going to reiterate, I guess, again, the same sort of loop that I've been in lately, the same kind of pattern. But, yeah, still just kind of, I even feel like now that I really feel like I've kind of gotten my head above water. And I did that XO about misogyny and feminism. I feel like I really kind of helped me get my head on straight, like, kind of for reals and like, kind of like a big way. So now that I kind of am able to get past just feeling sorry for myself or whatever and just worrying about my own problems, it's like Joss Whedon talking about the Hulk in the Avengers, how he wanted to do the version of the Hulk who has like dealt with his own problems enough that he can worry about other people's problems. He's not just trying to heal himself constantly. I don't really think I'm there, but I'm starting to edge that way, I think, a little bit. And it really still just doesn't make me depressed. Like, now that I'm not just feeling bad about myself, and like I'm not bemoaning my situation, and just like, all right, so here's the things that happened, here's where my life is, you know. Let's accept this and integrate it. So now I think I feel still bad about just the fallout, the fact that I'm not friends with some people anymore. And it's hard to rectify that. And it's really not up to me. I can try to put out an olive branch, but you know, it can only go so far. And there's still the fact that I still don't want to be friends with everybody. I want to be friends with some people and not others, and it's probably unrealistic. You can't really be friends with someone and not be friends with their boyfriend. Like, you just can't, you know? It's like, take it or leave it. So I still wake up sort of feeling bad, generally. And I try to remind myself that this can be a good thing. It can be, again, like, motivating. Because it really is, like, I almost never make it through the whole scenario of stuff. But if I got up, if I did, like, all my stretches and rehab in my neck and stuff, my neck, oh, still hurts so much. I think that's fucked me. Oh, okay, things that are fucked me up. My neck is still hurting, so it's hard to do exercise to a level to really get my heart pumping and really get my blood moving and feeling good. And I've had trouble sleeping, and I think partially that's because I haven't been able to exercise, so I'm just not tired. And I get stuck in this thing that used to happen to me all the time where I'll fall asleep for like 40 minutes and wake up, and then it's just enough to keep me shuffling around like a zombie and enough to make it harder to fall back asleep. And you just get caught in this horrible pattern of sleeplessness. It's really miserable. So I'm being real careful with my neck, and I just did really light exercises today. But yeah, if it's like, if I could wake up, do all my stretches, do my exercises, meditate, which I really don't do enough, and really work hard on writing. Like, the best is if I use, because I always write on my little Android phone, and every once in a while I write until the battery dies. And really, I should be trying to do that every day, because that feels good. That's like, I did it. Holy fuck, that's like 4 hours or something. That's so much writing. But I rarely do that. If I can do all those things and still feel depressed, then I got serious problems. Then, you know, try to really sort things out. But if I'm not doing everything I can to try to feel good about my life and have reasons to be proud of myself, then of course I'm not going to feel good about my life, and I'm not going to feel proud of myself, you know? And it's like the two sides of living alone. It is easier to feel better when there's people around. But I think maybe that was a bit of a problem too, where I was so comfortable living with Craig for all those years. I think that helped me not face up to the fact that I really got to get my life into gear more. But anyway, it was a weird feeling today where I did these exercises. Again, just really light, just little tiny dumbbells. Just little 10-pound ones, just to move. Just, I want to just get my muscles moving, like just to try to hopefully fix this problem in my neck. Because I think I jumped ahead too far. I think not only was I using weights that are too heavy, but I have a dropped shoulder. Did I talk about that? And it's like a real imbalance, and it makes it so on the other side, my neck is sore. It's nice that it makes sense, and I've like looked out into this, and it's all, it's so nicely not vague, you know? Working out muscle groups and parts of your body is very specific. It's not a lot of weird, like, just today I listened to a TED Talk about brain scan imaging stuff. And he was saying how this doctor, who's for 20 years or something, has scanned 80,000 people, and here's all the stuff he learned, and how rarely that actual brain scans are used in conjunction with psychiatry. And he said it's like bananas, because it would be like what other doctor would do that? What other doctor would just guess and throw darts in the dark and hope that he gave you the right stuff or did the right surgery or gave you the right pills? But for your brain, that happens all the time. And he's talking about, like, here's two people. Here's their brains. Look how different the activity is. It's, like, so different, but the symptoms are the same. So if you're just talking to someone and counseling them, you don't really know what's going on in there, and you're just trying to help them, and you don't know if it's going to help or if it's making any sense. And that's something that is very, especially because I'm, like, trying to self-correct, you know, trying to self-diagnose and self-therapize, and it's very hard and very slow and very difficult, and I'm not trained at all. I really don't know what's going on. I really am kind of shooting in the dark and just hoping that things work. And sometimes they sort of work, and sometimes they don't. It's so nice that the physical side just works. It does just work. Because, yeah, I was going to say that today, after I did exercise, I mean, it was enough, especially with, I did a lot of leg stuff, because I can do leg stuff, no problem. So my heart was beating, my blood was pumping, it was like, all right, I did it. But then I was still like, the two things were dueling. I was like, oh no, it feels so shitty, and my body feels good. Like, it was the first time I distinctly noticed the two things in tandem. My body felt good and my brain still felt bad. Like, the body didn't take over. And I was like, oh fuck, this is fucked up. I must really be down in the dumps, man. What the fuck? But luckily, it didn't really last, especially once I got outside and started walking around, got some fresh air, and then I recorded the segment for the other podcast, like, just to have that work to do every day. And now I feel fine. So I don't really know what the point is that I'm trying to make. Just continuing to chronicle, I guess. I definitely had a little run with these ham radios where I was really feeling particularly kind of like awesomely cool and good when I was talking about being a fucking living in the woods and hunting and all this stuff. And I knew there was something kind of cool going on there because I took all those episodes and put all the raw files aside to maybe make into an XO sometime. And, yeah, I've stopped doing that. Like, I hit a point where I'm like, all right, I think ham radio is kind of back to normal now. It's really just my blah, blah, blahing. It's not quite as charged as that. So I guess, like I said, maybe it was, like, you know. That's one thing I always find weird is, like, reading descriptions of stuff, manic episodes and whatever. It's like, it's just never enough. Even depression and stuff, it's like, I read about this stuff, I'm like, yeah, I can recognize I'm feeling kind of depressed, but it's really not enough. It's not like when people really have it, you know? I really just don't swing far enough for any of this stuff to be like clinically like, oh my God, I've got this, whoa! Which is good. I'm not saying I want that. Really, actually, I guess I do in one sense, is that XO I did about limerence, love sickness, that absolutely, like, man, listening back to that podcast, it just couldn't be more accurate and couldn't be more true about what happened with me and this girl. And it's so weird because I put together that podcast while I was in the midst, while I was in the midst of seeing her. So it's like I knew even while I was in this super infatuation mode that is like just an addiction, like just gripped my brain, made me change my whole life, just made me change course, made me do whatever to try to get this girl. I researched, edited, put together this podcast that it laid it all out. Like, here's what's happening. And I listened to it so many times. I listened to it like 100 times. Anytime things were going wrong, I just listened to it and listened to it and listened to it. And it's like, try to understand what is happening to you. Not only is it all right here, you put this together. For God's sake, you know what's happening. And it didn't matter. It just didn't matter. It still kind of doesn't matter in some ways. Like, I listen to it now and I'm like, that is so perfectly accurate. Holy shit. Like, I was just straight up love junkie. As bad as the other addicts in my family are, I was that way with relationships, and I always have been, and I need to do something about this. Like, I feel like that's the one place where it's like, yes, I have this, and this is bad. This is a problem. And I don't really know what to do about it, but I don't know. One thing that was even actually just kind of a comforting thought that I think did kind of help also get me sort of back on the road to recovery is just to think, like, maybe I just won't ever have a serious relationship. Maybe it'll just never happen again. I just won't ever really have a girlfriend in that way of like a super possessive monogamy. And it just was like, well, fine, that's okay. Like, maybe that'll be better. Maybe I can just have female friends and like everything can just be okay. I was thinking about times with this girl when we'd be having tough conversations and things would be going hard, and I'd just get that burning in my throat where it's like you can't talk because you're so upset, and you just are trying not to cry and holding back these horrible emotions. And I just haven't felt like that. I've felt bad, but a whole different kind of bad, like not like that, like this just inflammation, this horrible, like, ah. And yes, I mean, I don't know, chances are I will not go my whole life as a swinging bachelor, but even just to look at it that way, it's just like, it's fine, it's fine, it's not so bad. And it just makes it seem easier, and it just takes away that pressure, and it's like, just don't worry about it, worry about yourself, worry about establishing relationships with women that are sensible and sane and respectful and on even ground, you know, just be friends with people. Yeah, I don't know. Again, all this stuff, as weird as it's been, it's definitely for the best, because like that's what's so crazy is like I really went into all of this stuff like thinking I was doing the right thing, thinking that crazy possessive relationships are what relationships are, and that that's like a nice thing, and that that was so romantic, and it's not. It's fucking horrible for everyone. It's just like, oh, probably some stuff I should have figured out when I was like, you know, 20 or something. But you know, I've always been behind the curve emotionally, very far behind the curve. I actually just read today Chester Brown's book, Paying for It. I read it before when it came out, but I just saw it at the library today. Toronto libraries are awesome, man. They have so many cool comic books and stuff. So basically it's this memoir of Chester Brown, who's always been one of my favorite comic book guys. He does a lot of autobiography stuff. It's just about his decision to, it's kind of a similar thing. He was 38 and he just decided no more relationships. It was just making his life miserable. And he started paying for sex. So I'm reading this now and I'm like, huh, what's this? Let's see what this was all about again. Let's revisit this sort of idea. But I really just don't think that would work for me. Because reading over this thing, it's like what he was looking for, or the hole he had to fill, I think it was just different than mine. He literally did just need sex from people, and I've always just found sex, like, itself, it's not satisfying in and of itself. Like, there's these weird parts in the book where, you know, it's not extremely in-depth, it's a comic book, you know, so he's just, like, talking about his different encounters with women. So I just presumed a lot of things onto the situation that he wasn't getting into the details of. But then he'd throw in weird stuff, like 4 years deep or whatever. He's like, whoa, this girl kissed me. Like, none of the girls I've been with have ever kissed me. And I was like, what? What the fuck? And then a little later on, he's like, oh, this one, she's looking me in the eyes while we have sex. Like, no one's ever done that. I'm like, what the fuck have you been writing about this whole time, Chester? Really? Just been awkwardly banging without talking or interacting? I mean, he chats with the girls before and after and stuff. He's a friendly, nice-ish guy or whatever. But, man, I just cannot see that filling the void of my life. Jesus, really? You know? I think if a girl would look me in the eye and kiss me, that would be better. Like, that would be more important. How I actually get jizz to come out of my dick is relatively unimportant. I can just rub it on your knee or something. I don't give a fuck. And it seems like paying for emotional intimacy is with a happy finish, with a jizz finish. I don't know if that's a thing that's really sensible. So, anyway, I don't think that's going to be plus expensive. Are you kidding? I can't afford that. Yeah, especially just because, I mean, my mind is still wobbling a little. There's always little backslides with stuff, but ever since I just, like, culled my porn so that it's just naked girls that are happy and that's it, that seems so much better that, like, it's kind of neat almost. Like, this sea change that's happened in my mind where, oh, there's the song I could play. I'll play something from Beck's album, Sea Change. This whole time I was trying to decide like what song I should play. But as I'm going through my porn, these are mostly pictures. I don't know, I like pictures. I don't like the pressure of video. Video as a whole, it's so much, it's so time-based. I like to just be able to get frozen in the moment or whatever. But all my pictures are just in a big slush, so as I've been going through, I'm just like deleting the ones that seem unhealthy and uncool. And seeing them, it's not like, oh, I'm gonna lose that picture. Oh my goodness. How am I ever gonna live without this picture where this girl is like, doesn't look like she's having fun. You know? Like, it really, the delineation is so clear now between like sexual imagery that's based on mutual enjoyment and both people having fun and both people being excited and expressing their sexuality and just like enjoying each other and that excitement and that whole vibe, or stuff that's just based on power. And it can be as simple as just a dude jizzing on a chick's face. Now, I'm not saying there's not a time and a place for that, but in a porn picture context, it's totally just like power trip. I'm jizzing on your face and now we're taking a picture of it. And then it just gets worse from there, you know? So, I mean, that alone, just that alone is so important. Like, that I was just careening through life. Like, cause you're just, it's just porn. It's like, no one knows what you're looking at. It's like, you're just squirreled away by yourself looking at porn. And it's like, well, no one's gonna know. No one's gonna know what fantasies I'm harboring and things I'm thinking about. And it's just so much better to not feel at odds with your fucking dick. Now it's still like, yeah, I still fucking wanna jerk off all the time. But it really is just so much nicer to just not feel like that's, you know, because I think I have kind of buried that a little bit too, of like it all gets tied up. It's like, it starts to feel like this anchor around your neck where it's like, oh Jesus, I feel like I want to jerk off again. And then when I jerk off, just because it'll get me more excited and be more intense, like I'll look at these pictures that are like treating some girl bad. And over time, that just turns into like resentment towards women. And then you just like I definitely would feel like, you know, you see a woman walking around in the summer who's really hot and not wearing a lot of clothes, and it's like frustrating. It's like, why are you doing that to me? And I'm just, it's so nice to have that like paradigm in my mind just switch. Like, I think it's gonna take some time for it to really solidify, to make sure it stays this way and I don't backslide, but the initial big push, the big realization is totally there. And it's just like I feel like I can understand now when like feminists talk about how, you know, it's like a severe example, but like if a woman wants to walk down the street buck naked, she should be able to, and she shouldn't have to be harassed and, you know, obviously not raped and stuff. Raped and stuff. I don't mean to. And I guess before, you know, I would, it's like, again, like I'm on the boy team. I'm like, all right, but come on, like, sure, that would be great in a perfect world, but you can't do that. You can't put yourself in that position. You can't expect us to behave properly in this severe situation where there's just like a naked woman walking around. Where now I really feel like if I were to just see a naked woman walking down the street, like, you know, I'm gonna notice and be like, whoa, that's a naked woman walking down the street. But in like the hierarchy of my thoughts, it would be like, that's a person. That's a person first, you know? And I mean, it's weird to say, but I think it didn't seem like that before, and I think it doesn't with a lot of men. I think that's why you get all this like crazy Gamergate stuff and weird misogyny and just like angry dudes on the internet and crazy jealousy and horrible sexual repression. It's like, for whatever reason, of just fucking the weird ways that we grew up in this fractured society that we have, and being disconnected from each other and maybe disconnected from family units and from our neighborhood and our society in general and our weird little isolated culture that we have now, where people really are just kind of on their own to just develop all these weird ideas and weird associations and weird understandings of how things should be. And then you tie that in with this notion, this movie notion, that you're supposed to find some woman and she belongs to you now, you're together. And then that doesn't happen, because it's not guaranteed to you, it's not something you deserve, it's not something that you're owed. But if you don't get it, you get all angry and agitated and mad, and like, on the very far end of the scale, you get people that just go nuts and shoot everybody. But I think I was on the low end of the same scale, you know? Like, kind of feeling the same way and not expressing it very often, and being a generally pretty okay dude. But the thought processes that I wasn't telling anybody about were still like backwards and turned around. And if nothing else, the fact that I've recognized this and that this seems to be turning around, if nothing else, I mean, it's nice that I'm exercising and meditating and stuff, but this really seems like the fork in the road that's like the non-optional one. It's not just, oh wow, this is like improving my day-to-day, this is like up to the quality of my life. It's the, like, I just wasn't gonna make it the other way. You know, I was gonna become some version of a crazy fucking hermit, you know? Just not really being able to be associated with female society. And yeah, it's a good feeling to just, like, I'm not gonna become some crusader and I'm not gonna be all battle-axy and weird about it, but that I could just say to somebody, yeah, like, I'm a feminist. I mean, I don't think it's good to lean on any label overly, because it just leads to a lot of arguments, and it's better to just explain what you're actually thinking. But in general, in a broad stroke, to be able to say that and to mean it, you know, to not feel like I'm saying it because I'm supposed to, or not feeling like I'm trying to hide my deep dark secrets, you know, or my true feelings about men and women and my true deep down desire to just be some weird Conan the Barbarian with a woman at my feet. Just to be able to be like, yeah, yes, I really do. I really do believe in equality and in this movement. And again, yeah, of course there's like fringe elements and really severe people and examples of feminism gone awry and whatever. That happens with anything, with literally anything. You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Oh, I feel like I'm rambling a little. I'm at a Tim Hortons now, so I'm gonna go in. I hope that was interesting or something. I don't know, I guess it doesn't really matter. I was really just saying it for myself, but for whoever's listening. Oh man, I've noticed these guys here before at night. They look like roadies for like a heavy metal band or something, but they're always here at night. So they can't be roadies, because they would have rode it off somewhere else. Weird. All right, so yeah. I guess I said I was going to play a song from Sea Change. I don't know which one. Is Nobody's Fault But My Own on that album? That's a dreary song, but that'll do. That's what I'm going to play. All right, thanks again for listening. Adios.
Treated you like a rusty blade. Throw away from an open grave. Cut you loose from a chain gang and let you go. And on the day you said it's true, some love holds, some gets used. Tried to tell you I never knew. so sweet. Who could ever be so cruel? Blame the devil for the things you do. It's such a selfish way to lose, the way you lose these wasted blues, these wasted blues. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own. When the moon is a counterfeit, better find the one that fits. Better find the one that lights the way for you. When the road is full of nails, garbage pails and darkened jails, and the tongues are full of heartless tales that drain on you. Who would ever notice you and fade into a shaded room? It's such a selfish way to lose, the way you lose these wasted blues, these wasted blues. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own. Missing all this time.